All right, Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com, talking with Brian Dennison, of course, assistant football coach with the program, former athletic director in the district, and I know coaches track as well. When I think of you, from being around you, you're one of the guys that kind of, I think, has, like, really great balance in life. You're a guy that, you know, likes to hunt and fish, which is a very tranquil type of thing. You know, you get the balance, and then it's like high strung. Let's get it on Friday nights when I've been around you. That's kind of a great balance for what to deal with, isn't it? I mean, is that why you enjoy each in its own way? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that probably my wife and my son Jacob would tell you that fishing with me necessarily isn't the most relaxing thing. Yeah, I enjoy hunting. I absolutely love fishing. I mean, if I could find a way to make money at it, I would do it. But, that's not a feasible option for me. But, I enjoy it. I mean, it is a relaxing activity. Sometimes I make it a little more work than it should be. And sometimes I wonder why I do it. But it is something that I really enjoy doing. And it's good chance to unwind for the most part and get away.
Well, and then, it was funny when I was talking to Coach Whiteman here this week. He steps down as the head coach at Rock Ridge after a successful 6-year run, and a lot of people are saying, why are you doing that, man? You've won 151 games and you lost 26. And he said, well, I still want to coach, but I don't want to be a crazy person. I want to be, I still want to coach, but I'll be an assistant. Because, like you talked about, the demands of being a head coach in the 80s and 90s and 2000s to 2010 to 2017, they are really changing a lot. I mean, is that kind of a thing for you that you look at in your career and say, hey, more beneficial for me just to be an assistant coach? I've lived that head coaching part of my life, and it's much more enjoyable to me personally and professionally to be an assistant role, because you could be a head coach somewhere else, but I assume the assistant role suits you pretty good.
Yeah, it does. And pretty much in 2002, when I came to Galesburg, but definitely in 2002 when I came to Aledo, that's making a decision that you're not going anywhere from this point on. You've come back home, it's been everything we've done here since I came here in 2002 has been great. Just like anything else, there's bad times, but the good times and have far outweighed any of the negatives that have come up. You still spend a huge amount of time even as an assistant. I mean, 3 or 4 days a week. During the week, I'm there at 6:30 in the morning for the weight room, and in the wintertime, I'm there in the weight room after school until 4:30 or 5 o'clock. And now you're in track season, if I've always thought, believed, and I was taught this as a young coach, that if you want kids to do this, and this, then the coaches need to be there. Mm-hmm. And you need to be there actively coaching them and being involved with them. And
well, because they know. The kids are smart enough to comprehend that. Do you think, I wanted to ask you this question earlier. Do you think people understand heat of the moment in context of athletics? I do. And the 2 years I spent on the sideline, it just gives you such a perspective that you don't get. And I was so thankful to even that late in my career to kind of get that perspective. I wish I'd have got it much earlier in my career, because you kind of understand that you're there and you see, well, because somebody in the stands can say, well, why isn't this kid doing this? Well, you're saying, well, yeah, he was told to do that, but he didn't do it. that you don't get, some people don't get that opportunity to see that up close. But, you know, the one thing I like about sports at whatever level is the emotion of it. And I understand heat of the moment. And I think in today's society, a lot of people don't understand what heat of the moment is. And there's the old, what is the professional sports rule or the major D1 rule? What is it, a 15-minute, you know, cooling off period where you can't go stick a mic? Yeah. And I truly believe that, too, that it should be that way. But I think, like, kids and parents and sometimes even administrators kind of need to understand what heat of the moment is. Now, it's one thing if you go up to a kid and, you know, physically strangle them or say, you no good, whatever, expletive, deletive, if you don't deserve. But if it's, you know, heat of the moment type of, you know, that type of emotion, you know, good or bad, I think people in those different disciplines, like I said, the student athlete, the parent, the administrator, the school board member, they need to understand that. And I think a lot of people don't understand heat of moment today. And I personally like heat of moment. I mean, I think sports is an emotional game.
Yeah, and I think it happens in any sport to different degrees. I mean, there's moments in a track and field meet where there's a heat of the moment discussion with with a kid, whether it could be not preparing yourself the correct way before an event, but I think that, and you have been there for a couple of years on the sideline, and the vast majority of the time, the heat of the moment exchange, what that exchange is, what it actually truly is different than the perception of what it seems from 15 yards away or 30 yards away up in the bleachers. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, it's 48 toss. I mean, it's not you're a horrible person. Why are you even here? I mean, it's reaffirming this. We've worked on this and worked on this.
Well, and this is one of my favorite moments. I tell Pat, I don't tell a lot of people this, and maybe I shouldn't tell this story, but I remember one of my favorite moments ever covering the sideline. It was a lineman exchange, and I'm not going to sell out the kid. And I tell Pat Lohr this because you kept telling the kid. He's like, you're like, I teach you, and I've taught you one step. And it was so funny because it was like heat of the moment, and you're getting ready to walk away, and then you're like, one step. And I mean, it's that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's a heat of the moment, and that can be a teaching moment. But from like the, and this is, you know, this is the luxury of coaching that people don't understand, that maybe there's a time where you're just at a loss with a kid, you know, and it may be a year or 2 years, but then that kid gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had, did you reflect back, that's the satisfaction that I assume that gives the motivation for coaches to continue, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you go, you're like, this kid's driving me bananas, and then all of a sudden, aha, he got it.
I mean, just as you were laying out that scenario, I mean, I could think of three or four kids right off the top of my head just in the time that we've been here in Aledo and Mercer County, that as a freshman, you think, oh my goodness, you know, where is he ever going to have a role for us? And then and towards the end of the sophomore year in the fresh soft games, you're like, boy, he might have a chance. And then all of a sudden you see him every morning, you see him all summer, see him getting stronger, and then all of a sudden you look at him in the fall and August, and it's like, oh, he's like 6'2" now all of a sudden. When did that happen? And then all of a sudden, then he's playing for 2 years for us. We had kids like that on the state championship in 2012, that even in August of that year, you know, we knew we were going to be pretty good, but we knew we got, oh boy, there's a hole here. What are we going to do? Can we get a sophomore ready for him? And, you know, you give the young kid every opportunity to try to win that spot. Well, what happened? That senior, I'm not going to lose this. I'm not going to lose this spot. And then, you know, by the time week 8, 9 through week 14, you know, that kid that you were trying to find a replacement for, you know, played his tail off for 5 weeks. And that's, yeah, that's what's rewarding. And those are, you know, everybody talks about life lessons and all the things you learn through high school sports. That kid learned something, because he knew, he went home every night and said, oh, they got Johnny alternating reps with me.
Yeah.
You know, I may not be starting this week. Well, he persevered through it, and he worked harder and got better at the one step and got better at the things we're asking him to do. And, you know.
It's just one step.
Yeah.
Just one step. You know, you talked about it a little bit in just being around. You know, I've been around since the early 90s. You know, the expectations, and this is no disrespect to any other the programs within the school district, but the expectations are far different when you've played in the football program, just because what it's meant since that early 90s era, or late 80s even, with the expectation. And kind of the expectations with the coaching. And I was surprised the 2 years that I really watched Ty play and being on the sidelines, some of the things that can be said, you know, beyond the sideline that you hear from the stands. How do you deal with that? And I've been to some games, even just watching in that era where, you know, Alito, you know, especially under the Welter era, where they made, you know, the runs that they made when he was there. But even in some of those playoff games, when you're playing good teams, things aren't going well for you. And then you hear, you know, I'm just talking about the minority in the stands, people saying some of the stuff, but you can clearly hear it. How can you do it? You got, I mean, you said thick skin. I get that. But, man, some of it has to just drive. I mean, it just drives me bananas sometimes. And I'm not even a coach, man. I'm like, what?
Well,
and this is, can I give you an example? I was at a game. This was when Ty played. And I'm not even going to say who we're playing. But we're, like, trying to run the ball. Their team, they're selling out, getting stopped. And then, so try to go inside tackles, that doesn't work. Gotta run the ball outside. So, you know, run the toss. Gotta cut that back inside. And then it's like, and this is poor Spencer Wood, you know, who I love to death. You know, gotta throw the ball deep. Down he goes, he gets sacked. Gotta throw the ball underneath. I'm like, what? Yeah. You can't, I mean, it's just like that type of stuff. It just like, you know, it just can drive me nuts. I don't know how. And I know football, you get a little buffer sometimes, but some of the LTC places you play at, people can be right on top of you. And I think you have to, as they say, have to have the patience of Job sometime. I mean, how tough has that been?
Well, a lot of times, myself, a lot of times I don't hear it, because obviously when we have the ball, I'm calling the play. I'm thinking about the next play. I'm watching what's going on, and I mean you get pretty tunnel visioned, and so a lot of times you don't hear it. I mean, there's times you do, you know, and I mean I can. There's an example like you were talking about that we were struggling. I think it was 2013. We were struggling to move the ball, and I mean we're trying everything, and we run our GT play, which is like a counter. We run it, and we lose like 5 yards. And I think it was third down. And we just get blown up, lose 5 yards. It's like, so, you know, you took the headsets off, and you hear somebody go, run a counter! You know, and the statistic looks at it and goes, didn't you just run GT? I was like, yes, I did. You know, yes. You know, and, you know. I'll be the first one to agree. Sometimes it looks like we're just doing things off the cuff, and that's frustrating. But there's a lot of time and planning goes into it. And, you know, we've never – no coach I ever know has designed a play to fail. You know, like, you know, hey, let's call this and see if we can lose 10 yards. You know, that's not what we're there for. And that, you know, our job is to try to put the kids in the best position to succeed and to put them in a position that most utilizes their abilities. And that's all we're trying to do. And hopefully when we do those things, we do them well. And everybody's not going to agree with us, you know. Everybody, but, you know, when you win games, everybody agrees with you a lot more.
And, yeah.
You know, you just can't let it bother you. I mean, some things you just laugh about, you know. And what the one thing I've noticed is that, you know, who hears it the most are the kids.
That is, amen, man.
And people don't, number one, there's no high school kid that ever steps on the basketball floor, on the track, on the wrestling mat, or the football field. They've never gone out there and said, boy, I hope I don't do very good. They want to be successful. They're trying to do everything that we're asking them to do. They're trying to do everything that mom and dad hopes they do to be successful. But those kids, especially the ones who aren't actively in the game, that are the reserves, they hear every one of them.
Yeah, amen.
And if you don't think that Johnny, who's a backup, when we're walking back up the hill after the game, doesn't say, hey, Jim, did you hear what so-and-so? I mean,
I could testify to that with my own kid. You know, some of the things he'll say, man, you hear so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, I did.
And then
I'm like, you need to do that, Ty.
Yeah, exactly. They're right. And especially, and even what I've found is even the kids, and this amazes me, but there'll be times the kids on the field hear it. And there's been, and they'll know it's their dad that said it. Or they'll know it's their uncle they know that, they'll know exactly who it is saying it to them. And that affects a kid.
Yeah.
You know, as adults and coaches, we don't let it bother us. But, the kids, they hear that stuff, and it bothers them.
All right, well, our time is up, man. I didn't even get to talk to you about the Iowa Hawkeye stuff over the years and the Chicago Cubs, but I've always appreciated the job you've done
here
locally. So thanks for coming in and sharing some of those observations with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, good to have Brian Dennison with us in studio today on the WMJ Sports Line. We'll wrap it up after this.
Companies that offer insurance at low prices may not cover what you need, just what you paid for. But cutting your auto insurance coverage could end up costing you thousands. Country Financial offers what cut-rate insurers cannot, peace of mind. They offer policies that stand up to life's challenges and protect what you value most. They'll help you make a smart decision, not a costly one. Let Country Financial help you today to protect what matters most.
Contact your Country Financial representative today in Aledo. See me, Tracy Biggs.